This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Hot Club of Cowtown.
Keep your cotton candy, don't need cherry pie. Hershey, save your kisses. Oh, Henry, don't you try. Ain't no Jolly Rancher compares to what I found. My own bit of honey, the sweetest thing around. Now when we go to Charleston, I don't need a chew. I've found something sweeter, I've found something new. I'm finished buying candy now, you can close up shop. Cause I'm my baby's honey, and he's my Tootsie Pop.
Pudding plenty now, no jelly beans for me. Baby Ruth and all those suckers never gonna be. Sweeter than my sugar, he's handsome and he's tall. He's my little smarty, I'm his atomic fireball. Maraschino cherries, a bar of Toblerone. Let them have each other, I'll never be alone. Used to have a sweet tooth, now it's plain to see. I found the sweetest candy, and my candy's sweet on me.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to be joined by phone today by Alana James of Hot Club of Cowtown. How are you doing, Alana?
Good. Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
Great to have you visiting with us here on Musician Spotlight by phone. And by the time it reaches the listener's ears, it may not sound like it's a phone interview. It may sound even better than that. And where where are we having this conversation from? Well, I'm having it from Missoula. Where are you at this point?
I am at my house in Austin, actually in my studio out back behind my house. And it's a peaceful, quiet place. It's quite a place as I could find to speak with you.
Ilana, I was going to mention that I realized that, if I'm not mistaken, your playing actually has already been on Musicians Spotlight, and that was doing some fiddle work with The Ballad of Minnie and Pearl from from Bruce Anfinson. Yeah. So we featured him on the program, two or three years ago, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now at this point. But it's definitely a very memorable tune. And I didn't realize that until I was looking through your credits. And I was like, hey, you've already actually been on the show.
I think I put that on my website as one of my more illustrious cameos.
Yeah.
Is that where you saw it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Bruce is very much a Montana institution. So
He's incredible.
Yeah, great stuff. Ilana is, of course, a member of Hot Club of Cowtown, which also features Whit Smith on guitar and vocals, Jake Irwin on bass and vocals. And I guess at this point in the interview, people will realize you play fiddle and vocals and sing, of course. Three recordings under your own name, and I want to get it into some of your own music as well. And I'm counting, 15 recordings with Hot Club of Cowtown?
Maybe. We've got some stuff that, you know, is like out of the country on like obscure labels that are no longer available, but like maybe all told in that neighborhood. Yeah, I kind of can't keep track.
Yeah. And numerous awards for both you and the group. And my favorite was, and I can't remember specifically what the award was, but it's Female of the Year. And I just love it because it's like, it's not female fiddle player, not female vocalist. You're just the Female of the Year, which that's pretty awesome.
Okay, that's like, that is a Western Swing female from the Ameripolitan Music Awards, which was started by Dale Watson. Yeah, that's been going on for about maybe 4 or 5 years now.
I love it. It's just your whole femaleness is is being celebrated there. and you mentioned you're based out of Austin. And where I wanted to, I guess, start this whole process was where it starts for you, Prairie Village, Kansas. I love the name. I'm trying to think if I've actually been in, I've been through Kansas a few times, but I love the evocative name of where you're from, because I can say that when I first came to Kansas, I was driving from Indiana through over to Colorado to start an internship. And it was the first time I'd seen prairies and I was absolutely entranced. Like, this must be prairie land, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's actually in a prairie village, but tell us about Prairie Village and just kind of give us a little taste of what growing up there was like.
Well, here's the truth for any of your listeners who are familiar with like the greater Kansas City area, but I don't mean to burst your bubble, but Prairie Village is actually, it is a suburb of the Kansas City metro area. It's in Johnson County, which is the further eastmost county in the state of Kansas. So it is in Kansas, but it's not as rural as it sounds, although it's a very, very beautiful place. But, you know, those rolling plains tend to get going as you head west toward Colorado. But as Kansas, you know, it is the prairie. And so even though, and I grew up in Prairie Village, it's really sort of like a suburban enclave of Kansas City. But it doesn't take much. You don't have to go very far, you know, to be around. I remember there was like a place called like Buffalo State Park that we used to go to when I was a kid. And I grew up also horseback riding a lot. And I had a lot of unsupervised time as a child with my horse. And at Kansas is a great place to have unsupervised time with a horse because, you know, it's not as dangerous. You know, there aren't any bears. It's not mountainous. There are a lot of wide open spaces to run around in and stuff like that. So, but I don't think I have fully appreciated just how wonderful Kansas was until as I've been an adult and I go back there. It just gets sweeter and sweeter every time I go back. Just, you know, the grass grows in the prairie in a way that it doesn't necessarily other places. And it's just incredible, the smell and the light. Those are all things that, you know, as a younger person, I appreciated them, but I basically like couldn't wait to move to New York City like when I was 17. So some of those things, you know, are they were like wasted on me at the time. So yeah.
Your eyes are blue. Your kisses too, I never knew what they could do. I can't believe you're in love with me. You're telling everyone I know I'm on your mind each place you go. They can't believe you're in love with me. I've always placed placed you far above me. I just can't imagine that you love me. And after all is said and done, to think that I'm the lucky one, I can't believe you're in love with me. Kisses too, I never knew what they could do. I can't believe you're in love with me. You're telling everyone I know I'm on your mind each place you go. They can't believe you're in love with me. Placed you far above me. I just can't imagine that you love me. And after all is said and done, to think that I'm the lucky one, I can't believe you're in love with me. I can't believe you're in love with me.
Ilana James joining us here on Musicians Spotlight, calling us from Austin, Texas. Ilana, let's talk about the beginnings of Hot Club of Cowtown. I know a little bit about this, and it, if I understand correctly, came at a time when you really could have gone a whole other direction. Forget classical music. You could have been a writer or editor there for magazines in New York City. Is that correct?
Well,
another bubble burst.
Hold on. I mean, it's a long life. Basically, what I was doing in New York is I got an internship. Like, it was an unpaid internship at Harper's Magazine. So I can't say that I would have gone into, like, you know, great publishing and literary fame through that internship. But I've always been interested in writing and magazines and stuff like that. So I went into New York, and I was there for initially 5 months, and I put in an ad in the Village Voice because I missed playing fiddle. I'd been working as a horse wrangler out in Colorado off and on some summers, and I missed being in this cowboy band that I used to be out, you know, out in Colorado, and I just loved it so much. And so when I came back to New York, I thought maybe I can find sort of a Western kind of a band or somebody who wants to play those kind of tunes. And I did. That was in 1994. And Wit saw my ad and called me.
Okay, well, let's go from there. And then that turned into a band that's touring all over the world. So talk to us about how it wasn't just the end. And they found each other through an ad, his name is Wit, and the end. No, it doesn't end there. I know that.
Okay, there are a few more sentences, I guess, in between then and now. But well, what happened was I still didn't know what that was going to be, because I had this vision for myself of living this kind of traditional life in New York City, this like bohemian life where I could work in publishing and stuff like that. And I took a job as the managing editor of this Buddhist magazine called Tricycle. So I was like all ready to be into that world, and I really didn't even last a year at Tricycle because I started playing with Wit more and more, and all I really wanted to do was go down to his apartment and like drink espresso every Saturday and just play like fiddle tunes for 5 hours. And that started just taking over my life, to be honest. And so eventually I stopped working at Tricycle. I went back out to Colorado, worked as a wrangler again, and And then Wit decided to join me, basically. And we spent a year in California playing as a trio. And then in 1997, we moved to Austin because we realized that by then we were playing Western swing. We had met a bass player and we were beginning to tour. And it just seemed logical that if you're going to play Western swing, which is, of course, a Texas and Oklahoma, mostly Southwestern style, it's hard to be based in San Diego. And it just made more sense to come to Texas. And plus Johnny Gimble, who is, as most any fiddle player, even remotely related to this genre, knows, he's passed away now, but he's just a titan, a genius. He's the most sort of copied and inspired fiddle player that there's ever been, really, to me in this tradition. So he was living in Austin at the time, and I thought, if Johnny Gimble is in Austin, he's actually in Dripping Springs right outside of town, but I thought, I don't even care about anything else, just to know that I could be, you know, in the proximity of Johnny Gimble. And sure enough, when we moved here, within, you know, 6 months, we got to meet him and go over to his house and jam. And he played on our first record. He played on one of my records. I mean, it was a dream come true to get to play with a lot of these old timers who lived in Texas, who were, you know, around in World War II, and they've almost all passed away, but we were able to be here during a time that they were available and still playing. And that made such a huge impact on us, you know, as younger people starting out in this tradition. So, but then we started touring, and yeah, we tour all.
Yeah, I'll say.
I've been on the road since like 1998, in varying, sometimes we travel more, sometimes we travel less, but we just keep playing and keep making records. And it's just, I don't know, I've also been in Montana a lot lately because, you know, I love, of course, Montana. And I do things in Montana on the side because that's my passion and my guilty pleasure. But I have been able to maintain, you know, we've been maintained this band for 22 years. And I don't know. I hope it happens. I hope it keeps going every year. You know, you can't say for sure. Everybody seems willing to show up again and again. So, I mean, I'm really grateful for that.
On a red dirt road where it never rained or snowed, the air rocks and dust were all you knew, and silent canyons too. The riverbeds, vermilion dust, the sky a burning blue. But I was born near the twinkling star to a melody one night, in a garden thick with jasmine and a moon-like lantern light. There I lay beside a river beneath a cherry tree. I dreamed you wouldn't let me be. And when our worlds collided, the sparks and fire flew. I think we both agreed there was nothing we could do. Now we lie beneath the same tree, and all the years have passed, and gaze into the night sky at a planet's reddish cast. And it seems to be like light years since that lonely red dirt road, and the rocky path we travel to the place we now call home.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Alana James. She's speaking to us from Austin, Texas. Alana is part of the Hot Club of Cowtown, and we're talking to her about her career, her solo work, as well, of course, her work with Hot Club of Cowtown. Before I started doing the interview earlier today, I opened up our Facebook page to listeners to make some suggestions for questions. And Grace from Missoula had some good stuff here. And Grace comes up with some good questions every time I do this. And she's a fiddle player as well. And first of all, I'm going to read you her this would be a good critic's quote for you. I love this. She said she's super powerful / muscular, while also being pretty and light, and never complicated for the sake of being complicated. Three notes and you can tell it's her. And I thought, man, that's whoa, that's as great, a musician. Oh yeah. I mean, that's what you, yeah. So before I get to this, you had a follow-up question to that, but maybe let's talk about that concept of
that is
how
so sweet. Oh my God. I can't believe it. I love it.
Is that something you can, yeah. Is that something you can try to achieve, or that concept of being able to find your own voice on the instrument, I guess, is maybe where
yeah,
I'm
that's
going
a really
this.
Good question. I'm so honored to be perceived that way. You know, that is kind of, that's sort of, I think, maybe a musician's dream. That is the idea. It's like, you know, it's your voice. I know that my favorite players, I can tell it's them instantly. I've got, you know, like Wade Ray, he's a fiddle player he played with Willie Nelson a lot and fronted his own band. Johnny Gimble, again, one or two notes, I know it's him. Tommy Jackson, he used to play with Ray Price and was like a titan on the Nashville scene. You know, each one of them has this sound that is like absolutely distinctive. And it doesn't even matter what violin they're playing or whose violin, you know, you could hand them a violin and they would have the same sound. And so I do think that, you know, like if you find your calling, I mean, sometimes I think everybody has gifts and callings, and maybe I have other gifts too. I'm sure I do, but I have been extremely fortunate to have been put in touch with this thing from a very young age that I do know that I have a gift. And so it's like, it's one thing to have a gift, but then you have a lot of responsibility to develop it to whatever the degree that, you know, your lifetime allows. And of course, I totally fall short of it. It's like, I don't even pretend that I'm honoring it to the fullest extent that I'd like to, or maybe that I still will, you know, in my lifetime. But that's part of what that is. I think it's like, it is a voice that comes out of you. And sometimes people come over to me after the show and be like, oh, I really like the tone of your violin. What kind of a violin is that? Or what kind of amp are you using? Or what kind of pickup is that? And and I'm like, I'm happy to tell them, because those things are all helpful. But at the end of the day, it's really about, you know, who you are and who is coming through your instrument. And so everybody's sound is unique and different, but it is weird how that a person's personal sound can basically stay the same regardless of equipment or an instrument. And that's kind of what is art and sort of unknowable about it. You don't really know where it comes from, but I do like to share it, and I feel like it's important to share it, you know. I mean, as a related thing, I don't know, you might edit this out, but you know, Johnny Gimble, again, he had some quote, I remember he either told me this directly or I read it, but it's like, you know, because so many people learned his solos and wanted to imitate him, but it was like, if you play like me, who's gonna play like you? And it's so true. And so I do think
that's a good,
yeah, isn't that cool? But there's a point at which, you know, of course you can emulate your idols, but ultimately if you really, if you kind of internalize what they're doing, you're going to add your own character into it too. But it is true. You have to, at a certain point, listen to who you are and get that, give that the room to grow, you know, also for sure.
When they ask me how it's going, and I know I must be glowing, I just tell them everything's fine. I don't let on that secret of mine. Now I skip instead of walking, I'm laughing instead of talking. All the world's a melody, 'cause I'm under your spell, but I'll never tell you, sweet secret of mine.
We'll be back with more Musicians Spotlight and our visit with Alana James of Hot Club of Cowtown. Welcome back to Musicians Spotlight and our visit with Alana James of Hot Club of Cowtown.
Give for that wonderful phrase.
Alana James joining us here on Musicians Spotlight. She's talking to us from Austin, Texas. Alana, the other thing that hit me in going over the group's history and biography is the degree to which you have taken this music of yours out into the world. And I was going to say, you know, you're taking this distinctly American music, granted, you know, with influences from all over the world as well, but it's as it has evolved in, you know, it has evolved into what most people would say a pretty distinctly American, you know, experience. And I was going to say, you're like American musical ambassadors, given the music you play. And then I saw, no, you literally were U.S. State Department musical ambassadors to Azerbaijan, Armenia, Algeria, the Republic of Georgia, maybe, and we say Republic of Georgia, we're not talking about Hotlanta, Georgia, but the, yeah, the Republic of Georgia. Talk about that experience, if you can, and just what that's been like to take this music all over the world like that, and what that involved in terms of being working with the U.S. State Department doing that in a musical sense.
That is really one of my very, very favorite things that we ever have done. You know, sometimes we just like get the call and it's like, you know, the embassy and yeah, the Sultanate of Oman, like, can you go over there and play for the weekend? And it's just, it is so... It's just such an honor. It's an honor to represent the United States abroad. It's an honor to be able to do that as a musician. And it's the style that we play. I mean, it's definitely not a popular form anymore in the United States. It's considered this very marginalized. I mean, I would consider it extremely non-commercial marginalized. It's like so retro, people can't even like get their head around it, you know? But yet it is absolutely, it's a uniquely American style. So when we are invited to go and represent the United States and play this stuff, it's just like such a ratification of staying with this style, even though we write a lot of our own stuff, but we kind of stay within this kind of sound and this kind of chordal color and stuff like that. But we also think of the band as a world music group, actually, you know. I mean, I love traveling. I've loved like going to Central Asia. I spent time in lots of different countries just on our time off. And you know, if I go to Mongolia, I want to go hear somebody who's going to be like, you know, playing the festival at a sheep sacrifice. And I want to hear the village tunes and see the dances that are being done to celebrate that locally or whatever. And to me, I see how exotic that is for me. And I think of one of those people comes over to Texas and comes to Green Hall and sees the Hot Club of Cowtown, you know, playing a dance for 4 hours. It's actually the equivalent, you know, it's this rustic local tradition that's, you know, community based and a dance style and stuff. So when we go abroad, we get to do that. And they also, the State Department is very good about setting up extremely rural, out of the way events with people, little villages, all kinds of stuff. Or like, you know, when we were in Algeria, we got to hang out with like these young jazz musicians from the local university and have a jam session with them. And a lot of times people will just, you know, dance their own traditional dance styles to what we're doing. We played like ladies reading groups, orphanages, I mean, any kind of thing, but you really have an opportunity to connect with so many people over there. And they do make an effort to let their people also, you know, play with you. And so we do some collaborative stuff when we're over there. And to me, it's like, it's just like, that is what music is. I mean, to be able to share that, because as a working musician, as anybody listening knows, I mean, you really have to focus on making a living and touring and commercial shows, ticket sales, stuff like that. But when we do the State Department stuff, it's a completely non-commercial experience. And so it's solely a cultural exchange. And it is probably my very favorite thing to do, as my bandmates would attest. Yeah. Whenever funding is cut for those programs, it's like those programs are so important. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I mean, you can see and feel how powerful it is. It's powerful for both sides, you know. And I hope that opportunity, you know, never goes away. It's really a magical thing to get to go and do that.
Alana James from Hot Club of Cowtown is our guest today on Musician Spotlight, speaking to us by phone from Austin, Texas. I'm going to read through this impressive list of musicians that you and the band have worked with. Now, if you're going to bust my bubble on this, I'm going to be
really disappointed.
That's probably
pretty accurate. Yeah, I think it's really.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to list off some names here. Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, Gapemouth Brown, the Avett Brothers, I beg your pardon, Dan Hicks, Brian Ferry, Roxy Music, the Squirrel Nut Zippers, the Mavericks, Dust Bowl Revival. They've actually been on Musician Spotlight.
Oh, great.
Just tell me a little bit about what some of those experiences have been like. I'm sure it's been a variety of experiences, but that's a pretty broad range of musicians to be collaborating with or performing with in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing is like this is a very, the business is just so weird. I mean, you just keep doing what you do and you really never know sort of what's coming down the pike. But I mean, of course, the tours with Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson, I mean, those were a long time ago now. That was like 15 years ago, but those were some of the greatest. I mean, it's possible the band should have just retired at that point because I knew they were never going to top the joy and splendor of those tours. But, you know, that was one great thing. We did like these summer ballpark tours with Bob Dylan and Willie Nelson, where it was just us and them. And Willie Nelson would come out every single night and sing an encore with us, which was just like the most moving thing to have him step out and just like step up to our microphone and sing. It was just, you can't even, it was like the Make-A-Wish. I mean, it's just, you can't even imagine what it is to do that. And then after that tour, like I got hired to play with Bob Dylan for a while and his touring band. And that too is just like, you know, it would be like the dream of billions to, you know, put on a dress every night and get up on stage and play and trade eights with Bob. Just like, oh, you know, heavens. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm getting paid to do this. I mean, it was just like unfathomable. So those tours, okay, that's one thing, but, yeah, we've had just so many different things happen. Like Brian Ferry really got into us for a while. He asked us to do a bunch of demos of his songs kind of in our style, which we then did. And that was really cool. And it kind of challenged us because we don't ever usually take on modern material, very rarely, unless we write it. So we did some stuff for him. And then we went on tour with Roxy Music a few years after that, which was also really neat. I mean, we played, you know, the O2 Arena and you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's like we're really, I mean, but that's just it. It's like you create a band and you love it and you stick with it. It's like you really, you know, who knows what you'll encounter. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, music, are you kidding? It's like, yeah, it's exhausting. Sometimes I'm like, what am I doing with my life? And then when I have time to get off the road and sit and reflect, I'm like, okay, here's what I did this year. You know, I played 95 shows and here are all the places I got to go. And these are all the people that I got to be with, or, you know, recording with Willie Nelson, recording with Merle Haggard. I got to play on the, this record called Last of the Breed, which was like a double CD set. And Johnny Gimble and I were in Nashville in the studio playing twin fiddles to Ray Price, Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. It's like, okay. Could you, what, I mean, like, it's like, how did I get here? It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
Downtown, the red light place. Jump up, bubble up, what's in store? Love is the drug and I need to score. Showing out, and run. Boy meets girl where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake free. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking of. Oh, can't you see? Love is the drug for me. Oh, stake my place in the singles bar. Face to face, toe to toe, heart to heart as we hit the floor. Lumber up, limbo down, the locked embrace, the stumble round. I say go, he says yes, dim the lights, you can guess the rest. Oh, catch that buzz, love is the drug that I'm thinking of. Oh, can't you see, love is the drug, got a hook in me. Oh, get that buzz, love is the drug that I'm thinking of. Oh, can't you see, love is the drug for me.
Ilana, before I go any further, I realized one of the first questions I was going to ask you is, I don't really know the origin of the name of the group.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll just briefly tell you that basically, since we started the band, there have been a big like proliferation of a lot of other like hot club of bands. There are many, many hot club of whatever bands. And the original inspiration for that was this band that was based in Paris. It started in like the 1920s. Called the Quintet of the Hot Club of France, and it was Django Reinhardt playing guitar and Stefan Grappelli, right? So, and actually the Hot Club was a group of record collectors at the time. And so the Hot Club, the Quintet of the Hot Club was this quintet that was affiliated with and played for, or generate somehow its genesis came from the record collecting Hot Club of France. So that's what it, that's where the name comes from on that side, the hot jazz and this kind of like dancing, improvised early swing. And then we love to play Western music from the same era from across the pond. So we do Texas and Oklahoma traditional tunes, Bob Wills, Milton Brown, that kind of stuff. So we called ourselves the Hot Club of Cowtown so that it was a little bit of each. And for people who, you know, are familiar, they're like, oh, ha, I get it. And then for people who did, they're like, now what's the name of your band? So I hope that makes sense, but that's what it is. It's kind of,
oh, absolutely.
Okay, it's the tooth, sure. Like peanut butter and chocolate. That's what it is. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if maybe Prairie Village was the, you know, the cow town that you're referring to.
People in Fort Worth definitely think that we're from Fort Worth. And when we break it to them, that it's like the cow town of the imagination. It's like, they're not really very happy to hear that, but it's true.
Ilana, one of the things I was going to ask you about, knowing your passion for horses, and what I was going to ask you about was if you can make some analogies between these two passions of yours, between the love of horses, the care of horses, training horses, and music. This is probably fresh in my mind because I just edited an interview with Amit Peled.
I know him. Oh my god! Yeah, I was at a music camp with him in like early in college.
That's funny. Well, and he and I went on and on about basketball because we're both basketball nuts. But he had these great analogies, of course, you know, which on the surface would seem like they would be more plentiful, but you know, I know something of the world of horses, but maybe just tell us what you think about that. That if there are any analogies to be made or any connections that draw you to those two things.
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, there is one thing that, because I think that both of the stuff that I've been working on, like I have to say, like, I'm not a horse trainer. I'm really like a horse enthusiast. I love to ride, and I've gotten, you know, paid to be a person who does ride and guide and stuff like that. But I don't want to like misrepresent myself as some kind of like, you know, super accomplished horse person. I love it, you know, but I do think that when I take time out to be with horses and animals, and most recently this past summer, like mules in the Bob Marshall Wilderness, primarily, those insights do come, and then they make my playing better. Not everybody feels that, a lot of people who are musicians just want to practice or need to practice and focus on practicing, but I definitely have maybe like, you know, how Yo-Yo Ma has this very humanist idea of, and Stefan Grappelli also, of incorporating lots of life experience into playing. You know, one of my favorite fiddle players was this guy, Frankie McWhorter, who played in the Bob Wills Band, and he used to break horses in the Texas Panhandle for several seasons, or he was the foreman on a ranch. Then he'd come back and play in a Western swing band or his own band or Bob Wills, and then he'd go back and horse break. And I love that paradigm because I do think they go together in this way, and they make each other richer. But there is one thing that I've noticed that comes to me, especially when I'm riding, and that is that when I take people out, like I've worked you know, it's called a wrangler, but you do a lot of guiding and stuff like that. And I like to bushwhack. So, you know, you may start out one place and you know where you're going, you know how much time you have, and you could take the trail, but it's maybe more scenic if you kind of take this diversion and you don't know exactly where you're going to go, but you have a pretty good idea of where you need to be and how these people are going to, you know, what they're capable of, what's going to knock them out, what they're going to love, what they're going to remember. And I do think that when I take people riding, I try to think about taking them out in a way that's almost like soloing. So you have a 32 bar form and you know that you could play the melody. That might be like staying on the trail, but I feel like you could also take them through something that is like, technically it's more improvised, you know? And so it's a more creative way to experience the same kind of landscape, but it is always different. And it's unique to that particular experience. And that's something that I think is, like a horse manifestation of how I approach soloing. So, I mean, I guess, does that answer your question? That's the only thing I can think of.
Alana James from Hot Club of Cowtown is our guest on Musicians Spotlight. Alana, my last question also is going to come from Grace from Missoula. She wants to know, what is the next adventure you're looking forward to?
First of all, Grace, I love your questions. I so appreciate it. well, this year I'm going to hopefully turn 50. So I have a lot of things I'd like to do this year, but one of them is get better at playing. We're about to put out another record, I think, of songs that were popular in 1945. So we're working on mixing and putting that project together. And I do hope to come back to Montana this summer because, you know, last summer I did a mule packing internship with the Bob Marshall Wilderness Foundation. And I have this like love affair going on with Montana that I just I just can't quit Montana. So I'm going to come back there as much as possible. I tend to like work for outfitters here and there in the summer if they'll have me on my erratic schedule. So hopefully a little bit of that. And to be perfectly honest, another thing I've always wanted to do, which I think would also help my playing, is to go to Peru and do some ayahuasca and open up my mind to some musical and life ideas that are hard to access through my kind of more traditional Western way of thinking. So I would personally consider that a great adventure that I do hope benefits my playing and like developing artistically as well.
Through the meadow, a river from on high, sighing down the mountain, rushing through the pines. A breeze blows off the river and rustles through the grass. Sunlight dips below the ridge, shadows falling fast. Forget you, to drive you from my mind, leave you shining blue eyes.
Hotclubofcowtown.com is the name of the website I'm going to direct listeners to. That should be pretty straightforward for folks. Hotclubofcowtown.com. That's the name of the website. You can find all kinds of stuff there about the band. And also, you have your own website as well. And I'm trying to remember, is that ilanajames.com?
Yeah, A+. Good job. Yeah.
And just to spell it for folks, ELANA, ilanajames.com. Ilana, thank you so much for being our guest today on Musician Spotlight, and best of luck to you and to Hot Club of Cowtown. And I hope that we get a chance to speak again down the road.
John, it's been my complete pleasure. Thank you so very much.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Ilana James of Hot Club of Cowtown. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.